Welcome to this week's call on round two of the five koshas. We're heading into transforming fear into its healthy role, which is that of practical action. As we settle in for today, I'm going to invite you to take a few minutes to get comfy and cozy, making a little nest and either seated or laying down for today. And as you get nice and cozy, I mean, invite us to connect to our breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, to even neutral, taking a moment to appreciate it and drink it in mindfully, noticing what it offers you. And turning your attention to, in essence, what's working well. And we're going to do that on purpose one more time, but first taking a few breaths here. Okay, and then I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, locate something either externally or internally. Eyes can be closed if desired for the internal. And as you let your senses go for a bit of a walk around your spaces, externally or internally, letting them land at anything in particular that feels pleasant to neutral. Whatever they land upon, noticing what it is you like the most about that thing. Is it the shape or the color or the size? Is it the way the light and the shadow play around it? Or maybe it's like the negative space that it creates somehow. Negative meaning the highlighting of spaciousness is actually here. Whatever it is that's catching your attention in this regard, the invitation is to soften into that. Savoring it. And drinking it in just a little bit deeper. You might even imagine that you can breathe that inside of you. And as that happens, I wonder what happens in response. In other words, what's happening inside of you as you respond to that thing out there or in here as you breathe that in? And if any part of that bodily response is pleasant, again, even neutral, taking time to savor that and receive that. I'm going to offer these words as you do that. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your villages that support you in arriving in all the ways that they have throughout all the years that it may have taken to actually get to this moment in time. the deepest of thank yous to your families, your ancestors, your lineages that created you, the miracle of you to be here today. And the deepest appreciation to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have given rise to life itself. That's given rise to your life, your family's life, your ancestors, your lineages. Without them, none of us would be here. And thank you to the earth that provides us nourishment, the sky above reminding us what space is, the fire that flows through us, connecting us to our essence of spirit, and the waters that flow through us as well, reminding us what consciousness is, what emotions are, what flow is. I invite you to give that all 3 breaths of gratitude. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Okay, so we head into today. I promised you a little bit more info on a practical level, debating on how we use that word practical a little bit. Maybe it's just a matter of interest or intrigue, or maybe you have a specific application that you're using this information for, or anything in between. As we enter round 2, I'm going to begin to highlight a little bit more info on the 5 koshas. So these are the 5 sheaths of consciousness, just as a reminder. And in essence, there's a lot of fancy names for them in yoga. I can sum them up as spirit, soul, the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body. And I'm going to start with the physical body. I'm going to overlay this on top of the levels of consciousness that John talks about, Dr. John Bell talk, Creative Body Talk, in the Prama Campus. So I'm going to liken this particular level of the physical to storing information that's actually in like the sub of the subconscious. So anytime we're working with something like your organs, your endocrines, your bones, your blood, anything that's physical that you can like tangibly see, touch, feel with your regular senses, I'm going to liken that to the not just the physical body, but the element, the level of consciousness of the sub of the subconsciousness. And in my brain, I'm also booting up an element, and I'm actually going to liken it to like the deepest core, which is that of water. Water connects us to our nervous system, our bones, our fluids in our system. Okay. And the sub of the subconscious stores our like deepest stuff. So we have likely heard the subconscious. I'm not going to differentiate the unconscious from any of this. That's another level of theory that I'm not going to bring into this particular realm. The subconscious is where we store all the things that are just below our perception. That's just a bit of a reach. Or if you like mention something like that seems kind of familiar to somebody, it might jostle something on the edges of their subconscious. The sub of the subconscious doesn't get accessed with such ease. It's going to be a lot deeper, and it's going to be like that. I think of it as like the deepest reach of your basement, which is like, for me, it's like that area behind like all the appliances in my basement. It's like behind the washing machine, like behind the dryer, like who even knows what's back there. And then once every, you know, however many years we decide to spring clean that area, we pull out all the machines, we wipe up all the crud that's underneath that all. Think of when we're working with the physical body, as we're actually getting into that particular layer of information. This information isn't necessarily related to this lifetime, although it's impacting this lifetime through your physical form. That information is actually impacting your physical form via the inheritance of your ancestry. And that can be in science, they've proven 5 years. In body talk, we commonly see 7+ years show up. And the ancestral energies tend to have a very dense energetic imprint to them. And our bodies are thought to be nothing more than the sum of all the undealt with karma, so to speak. I'm going to use that word a little sparingly, around what was unresolved more so in our family lines. And then that is something that we get to live out in the bodies that we inherit. Okay. I could be for a long time if I talk about all of them. So I'm going to intersperse it throughout our session. So I'm going to digress from that right now. And on that note, around the physical form, this is actually where we're starting off our session. We're heading into the endocrine glands. We're heading into the thymus gland that hangs out just above the heart. So I invite you to switch gears here as we move from theory to receiving. And offer that area just above your heart a couple of breaths. You might even bring your hand to it. Offering it a little bit of connection. As we turn our attention to the thymus tends to store all of our patterns where we've learned how to protect ourselves, stay safe, how we organize ourselves around our external environment. The spleen also has a pretty significant role in that too, as you may have heard me mention over the past several sessions or over the years, however long we've been connected for. The thymus gland also works as a key part of our immune system in early childhood. It's very active. So it stores all of our stuff around early childhood, especially issues around acceptance and rejection. So for here, we're going to start off with bringing in circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, and hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, and really our whole body mind to heal. Then we're also going to circulate the balance between our significant relationships between our yin, our feminine essence of nurturing, and our yang, our masculine essence of protection. And we're going to support these two in particular by bringing in two planetary energies of Venus and Mars, which tend to symbolize the feminine and the masculine fairly well. And we're going to optimize that planetary connection and bringing in a sense of harmony by bringing in one more planet to basically kind of mediate between the two of them, which is that of the sun. The sun brings in our fullest life force potential possible. Now, as we work with that, we're going to also bring in hydration to the thymus gland, bringing in water and joy and releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. Now, as we work with this, think of this as bringing in resources to this thymus gland to optimize its health. And then we're going to run switching technique to support it in releasing the fear of not being accepted, or the fear of rejection would be another way to word that. And to support this particular fear, we're unhooking a belief system that's been carried down through the family lines, 7 generations worth, down dad's side in particular. And the words here are, I'm not wanted. I'm not wanted. And around that, a fair amount of shame in conjunction with that fear. And it's creating this, the image I have is of like a rain cloud. So shame plus fear in a way that feels potentially like depressing or just mournful or sad or just a sense of, well, rejection. So as we work with this, we're going to also unwind it from the bone that hangs out just above the thymus gland, which is the top part of the sternum, fancy name, the manubrium. There's a little joint between the manubrium and the rest of the sternum. But I often just call the whole thing the sternum just for ease. But it becomes its own special little like chest plate that tends to hold an awful lot of protective energy. And I actually see it as having little lines of tension that go out to the upper shoulder, the AC joint on the right side, and go down into heart 1 acupuncture points in the right armpit. On the left side, it's more of a broad band all the way through the pec muscles. The top part of the pec muscle is working more so with worry, and the bottom more so with anger, which is stereotypical of those muscles. And it's going all the way out in a big fan that actually radiates even up through the neck and all the way into the jaw, the ear, back of skull. All this fan energy of that whole area on the left side has a particular consciousness to it of restraint, or this idea that you need to restrain yourself. You have to hold yourself back. And restraint sometimes gets a bad rap. However, restraint is also necessary for us to come to a different awareness. Rather than jumping to conclusions, we can restrain our line of thinking to enter a more neutral headspace, and then in turn allow for awareness or new insights to arise. So we're actually just clearing up any particular layers of anxiety around that, or any particular layers of fear, we could say, around that particular pattern of jumping to conclusions that how you're engaging with this is somehow incorrect or inaccurate. And the line that goes up to the right shoulder is working with this sense of over-responsibility around having to prove your worthiness in response to I'm not wanted. I'm not wanted, but then I have to spend my whole life making up for that. I'm not wanted. I'll show you how valuable I am. I'm not wanted. Screw you. I'm going to make myself the best XYZ, fill in the blank. And as we release those particular patterns through this line of fascia all the way out to that right acromioclavicular joint, the AC joint, and the right bony tip of the shoulder, we're going to also work with this line going down into heart 1 acupuncture points and then the center of the armpits. And here we're working with the expectation of punishment, or the expectation of I'll be sent away for not being wanted here. And that creating a fear response in a fairly strong way, creating a sense of terror. And in relationship to that, a fair amount of just ongoing chronic stress. And that's connecting into the heart brain, the electroconductivity system of the heart that regulates the heartbeats. And it's actually creating a sense of panic within the heartbeats itself. And it's creating a chronic sympathetic overwhelm state. And that's connected to a tendency to have blood pressure be impacted, and a sense of agitation through the breath, through the lungs, through the heart, as well as through the mind. Like, I just can't settle here. I'll never actually be able to just like settle and be okay here. And creating such a sense of familiarity, of hypervigilant fear, that it actually just became normal as a sense of chronic sympathetic overwhelm again. I had a dog sigh on that one. Usually that means when Roxy sighs that I'm right on the money, and it just took a long time getting to where she thought it should be. So, cutest little critic I've ever had. Okay. And as we release thoughts, working with circulation, excuse me, itchy ear, about the lymphatic system through the area where the, or that's between, I should say, the spine and the shoulder blade on that right side. And going off, actually, all the way around the shoulder blade down to the lower tip and then down through the right side of the shoulder blade as well. So it's encompassing the area all the way around the shoulder blade, as well as in front of the shoulder blade. And we invite you to imagine that if I was there and you were laying face down, I would like grab my fingertips around the inside of the shoulder blade that's closest to the spine, and I literally just like pick it up and create a little bit of space and room there. As we do that, underneath that, there's an inner 4-year-old hanging out. And she actually needs some lymphatic drainage done for her spleen. And a sense of having to hold back, nurturing or nourishing energy out of a fear of rejection. In essence, if I try to help, I'll just get my hand slapped. Okay, so we work with this 4-year-old. We also have to unhook a fair amount of pressure off of her left eye, going up through to the upper left-hand corner of that eye and into the sphenoid bone. And we're literally just supporting her and seeing herself in a new light, in a new vision, in a new way where she can actually appreciate her essence without having to fulfill this idea that she's less than or inferior or undesirable in some way. As we free her up from having to see herself in the ways that others have seen her, actually just see her begin to move in ways that are celebratory, like she's dancing and playing and exclaiming and laughing and coming alive. As she returns to life in this particular way, through joy, we're releasing a fair amount of fear off of the left side of her face, and then supporting the right side of the face and moving forward from turning towards that which will nourish her in this life. Okay, love bug. Love bugs, I should say. We're going to tap this out here. So, invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Breathing here. Giving that a slow, deep breath. And then we're working with the consciousness slash essence of the rainbow. And it's working with this idea of like tasting the rainbow. Is that a Skittles commercial? It might be. But it's working with this idea of being able to like literally just like fully embrace and take in all the facets of life in ways that actually support being seen as, again, a form of nourishment or love. As we do that, we need to release a fair amount of energies with cell repair that are inherited through mom's side of the family lines, keeping in mind that cell repair restores cells back to their fullest potential of health. Going back 4 generations on an emotional frequency of anxiety and the, I'm going to say, chronic habit of anxiety getting in the way of being able to again take that bite out of life. And again, feeling this idea of I have to restrain myself in some way. Okay, we have to tap out this part on its own for whatever reason. So breathing here, receiving, and see if you can exaggerate, in particular, the inhale. And giving that another round or two of breath here. Then we're heading into past life work, eighth chakra work, as we call it in Body Talk. Keeping in mind that we don't think of anybody as, basically, when somebody passes on, like all their unresolved energies enter into a giant pool, and a new being comes into formation to scoop up that bucket of pool water. But they don't necessarily like go on to live again or anything like that. So as we support the system in unburdening this past life, it's actually heading back to the eye on the left side. And it's working with some sort of a crushing injury to the eye. And it looks like it was inflicted from an animal, like a claw of some sort. So in here, there's this expectation of attack or a fear as well of attack that goes with that. And interesting, with that fear of attack, there's all this clenching of energy of fear through the kidney complex, kidney adrenal complex, all the way through that low back. That's created like this long-standing chronic tension through various different areas, and for each one of you, it'll be slightly different in your lower back. The low back tends to work with worthiness and prosperity financially. And here there's a series of belief systems around low self-esteem. I'm not worthy of being taken care of. Just toss me out like I'm trash. And then again, that expectation of attack to be taken out. And as we support the system in releasing anything around the expectation of literally being killed. With it goes the essence of, on a sub of the subconscious level, death wish energy that's stored again in the ancestral lines, primarily through dad's side, 6 generations back. As we support this, supporting any parts of you that store any propensity towards those similar types of urges, whether that's self-harm or death, and unburdening what they've been having to hold because of these connections to the ancestral energies. And as we unburden them, as they lay that into rest mode by releasing it and placing it into the earth, I again see that rainbow energy coming in to offer a transition or passing to the other side, as well as then a reclamation of life for you, with those parts laying down those burdens to the point where they actually get to rest in peace. Okay, love, we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, interesting. Then we're heading into the 12th house, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space. And it's basically just a bit of cleanup work to support all that we've released from the system, which has not been a small amount today. We're linking that through to the exhale to support the ongoing release and integration of today's session throughout the next several days/week. And we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems from the left ovary that, in essence, is holding this idea of I have to keep going no matter what. And here, releasing a fear of resting, a fear of relaxing, a fear of activating those portions of your nervous system. Fancy name, the ventral vagal portion of your parasympathetic nervous system. Out of literally a fear of being attacked, like if I rest, I'll die. Okay. This next permission statement I've been pausing, I've been stalling just a little bit on saying, so I'm like, oh, it's a big one, it's a juicy one. Part of you may not like this, and that's okay. We're heading into the topic of death, and the permissions here is, it's a big word, death is not a punishment. Death is not a punishment. Ooh, big sigh from Roxy on that one. Yeah. So death. Oh, I know, such a big topic, and I'm not going to do it justice in a few sentences or words. And if this evokes anything in you, I would encourage you to check out Stephen Jenkinson, who's the death guy. He's written a lot of material on this. He's been a death doula for years and years, and he's actually in the middle of his own process of dying right now. So the man speaks his talk and walks his walk along all of that. Walks his talk, I think is what I was trying to say there. So death not being a punishment means that there might actually be an okayness to death, neutrality to death, or there might even be the awareness that death actually offers a certain amount of relief. I don't ask that your conscious mind drink any of this in right now. Just planting a few seeds, and that might actually agitate the system more than it calms it down right now. That's also okay. So you work with this. Death is not a punishment. Begins to challenge our beliefs or thoughts or preconceptions around what death actually is. I must admit, I've been fascinated and to some degree or another studying this topic since the age of 8 on my end. I was a very experiential learner around this realm as I wanted to study what was happening as we began to lose consciousness or awareness when I was 8 years old in a surgery And I had had a lot of surgeries by this point. It's like, I wonder if when I receive anesthetic, if I count backwards, I'll be able, and I like hang on and I try to like fight the anesthetic a little bit and I make it up for a little bit longer, but I can sort of peek into that window of what's here. And I counted back usually from like 199, 98 was always like the last number I would remember as the anesthetic was coming on. And this particular day, I made it to 95. It was like my record. Very proud of that. Not that I'm competitive at all. And there was this insight into the place that we enter when we die in an energetic form that didn't necessarily line up with any of the teachings that I'd received through the Orthodox faith that I had instilled in me bringing up through the, oh gosh, all the way through to 16, 17, I think it was the last time that was indoctrinated into my system. And during that process, it seemed to contradict some of the things that I was hearing in the church that I was attending. We had a very different viewpoint on what happens when you die. I grew up in a very fire and brimstone kind of a church. And the experience that I had flew in the face of that. And it actually presented this idea that death actually carries a certain amount of bliss and relief. And that it was actually really safe to let go, that I didn't actually need to hang on as deep as I was hanging on anymore. Which planted the seed of lifelong exploration as to what that actually meant and how to form that habit and what that actually offered. Which I'm going to say is that one of the offerings that comes from that is a tremendous understanding around what it is to let go in a way that optimizes your vitality while you're here and alive. So thank goodness for that teaching, that insight that I received back then. So again, I'm going to leave you with this permission statement of death is not a punishment. I don't normally talk so much or share so many stories, but it felt right given the bigness of that topic and what it can hold and what it can bring up for folks. And honestly, I could talk for days upon it, but I'm gonna digress for now. As we work with death as not a punishment, and underlying that, releasing any particular layers of fear, anxiety, terror, and panic. And as those begin to release, primarily from the upper rib cage and the upper cervical vertebrae, so thoracic 1 and 2 regions and cervical 1 and 2 regions alike. The space between that, all the way across the back of the neck, C3 through 7, roughly area, begins to get highlighted, almost like there's this tension in the back body that's been bookending and not allowing for the neck to actually release into any permanent state of relaxation, or not allowing it to literally even support your breath. In essence, it's holding a fair amount of rigid control. And with this idea that you are responsible for managing your own breath and your own vitality and your own, well, gift of life. Not take away from, yes, we do need to tend to our lives, but more so this idea of having to control life. As you release and surrender, allowing some spaciousness on the other side of that. I invite you to begin to breathe right into the back of the neck. Even just gently bringing in small movements. You might support that by dropping the chin so you can get into the back of the neck. And it's okay if you can't feel your neck. Most people don't in our society. Tech neck, meaning we are staring at our computer screens or driving or staring at our phones in particular, really bad. Tablets also bad for that neck. There's a tendency for the neck to get a little bit numb. And as you drop the chin a little bit and maybe bring in those small movements through the neck in a way that feels comfy, cozy for you. Nothing guided here in particular, but if you like circles, do circles. If you like just wiggle woggles or zigzags, do those. As we bring in movements, we're also activating. It's actually teasing out victimhood from the words, it's not okay. Which then honors the strength of that boundary of like, hey, that's not okay. I don't tolerate that. I won't be doing that. We're gonna not engage with that. And as we tease out that boundary energy from victimhood, the victimhood energy begins to die away, relieving any need to perpetuate those power struggles by embracing victimhood. By means of supporting that, we're going to run a Sidri for the next 8 days, so just past our next session. So C is for all those same circulations, so all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, the chi. And then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter of what no longer needs to be here and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like never done before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As that runs for the next 8 days, we're going to do some work with the other eye, the right eye, and helping to literally connect to a new vision, to see a new path forward, and to see what action can be taken to support that. And we're running the permissions of, I can move through this. I can move through this. And as I yawn, yawns are usually indicative of states changing, not necessarily tiredness, but that can be in the mix. I'm actually feeling pretty well rested today. As we support state change around the soul, I actually see a little infant show up. Just a few days, few weeks old, somewhere in the neighborhood, very young. I'm going to invite you to imagine with me how that little one is being cradled in ways that lets her feel really secure, as she's being gazed upon lovingly, held lovingly, and offered deep nourishment, not just with food, but with care, with attention, with the honoring of her rhythm, of her pacing. And you might even imagine that that little one can hear this permission statement, and the words are, I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. And as we support the system in embracing secure attachments and repatterning what it is to have secure attachments, we'll link that all the way through to the 12th house, which is also the house of the liver and the liver meridian. So if we imagine that little baby and her liver, his liver, got to receive security in every way known, in every way that you might not even know, that you might not have ever been present to. We're supporting the liver and releasing a whole lot of old pain and hurt and challenge. And it's related to this idea of I have to fight to survive. In psychology terms, we might relate this to oppositional defiance or the habitual need to fight or oppose. And as we move through these layers, releasing that from baby's liver meridian, and with it, a whole lot of shock that didn't have time to get processed earlier, that was getting in the way of baby receiving deep nourishment and being able to drink in the care and attention and love that it was being offered. And it begins to rewire what was a misconception that care, attention, and love created pain and hurt. Or in other words, vulnerability, tenderness is too painful to bear. Releasing those ideas that vulnerability and tenderness is too much to bear. And as we do that, I actually finally see that low back soften without having to be in chronic fear response. The kidney adrenal complex, along with the various low back musculature, including that quadratus laborum, or the QL as it's sometimes referred to as, begins to actually soften and gracefully melt into that loving embrace. And then if you're open to it, I mean, imagine that you are actually the infant, except that somehow now you're adult-sized, and what's holding you is the universe. So imagine being cradled in the arms of God. Pick your word for God. As you're lovingly cradled and held here, we could imagine getting to lay down into the arms of the divine and cozy up. To snuggle on in and to receive that loving care and attention. I begin to see that deepest sub on the subconscious layer begin to respond to what it is to be deeply supported at its very core by a consciousness that is considered to be hierarchically speaking greater than it. But more so, I'm thinking of it as, in this case, something that's just diametrically different in nature. We're linking that through to the gallbladder to support new beginnings and catalyzing decisions from this point forward. I wonder what it would be like to imagine you're being held by the divine and how that might alter your decisions and your choice points in any given moment, from the mundane, day-to-day, minute-to-minute things that you embrace in your life to the greater, bigger, overarching projects that might take up your year or your years. Then we're tapping here, invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, then we're working with the expectation slash fear of being displaced. Slash betrayed, slash forced into abandonment. By God, the divine, the universe, whatever your word here is. If I could speak plainly to it, it might go something like this. If I let you in, you'll crush me. If I let you in, you'll crush me. That being stored in the right earlobe and all the way into the right inner ear, all the way through that ear canal, including those three smallest bones in the body that conduct sound. And this ear is holding on to this idea of, I just won't hear it. I won't take it in. And then I can resist that and prevent myself from, well, being swallowed up whole by something that which is seemingly greater than myself. As you release those layers of fear, tension, unwinding a whole lot of fascia through this ear. And then running a really interesting permissions here, and the words are, it is safe to be me. It is safe to be me. Okay. And then running one more permissions to this right ear, and the words are, I'm listening. I'm listening. And it's connecting your ears specifically now to the sound of the universe. The sound of, I haven't researched this, but I'm told it's called the Song of the Spears. I don't know much about it. Maybe I'll take a gander at that in the coming weeks and see what I can learn about it. But I do remember hearing it as a kid. And then it's something that I touched in on a lot throughout my life. So the first time I heard it, I was 4. I thought the neighborhood lady was, my neighbor, I should say, was playing me her organ. But then she wasn't home. I told my mom, I'm like, can you hear that? Like, I think Clem's playing the organ. My mom's like, no, like, they're on vacation. I'm like, oh, like, what's that sound? My mom was like, I don't hear anything. And the interesting thing was, at that time, and still to this day, I'm actually deaf in one ear, but I could hear this song plain as day, but only when I was still, deeply, deeply still inside of me, and in a way at certain times of peace or contentment. So as you connect your listening, whether or not you actually hear this song, to that particular sound of the universe, bringing in circulation of nerve supply through both ears to optimize communication, to hear with, I'm going to call it your third ear, just like we have a third eye, we also have, conceptually speaking, a third ear, which helps us to hear that which is not tangible. And then we're simply linking that into the depths of that sub of the subconscious to support cleanup on levels that you don't actually even need to consciously attend to. It'll just be happening almost like a spring clean, a defrag of sorts. We're running a body chemistry here to support that immune system. Ah, I got it finally. To hearing the acceptance of, and I think I used these words last week, that the mother of all creation chose you. The mother of all creation chose you. So regardless of any experiences of humans, maybe in parents or anyone else, accepting or rejecting, wherever that stands, being able to deeply find solace in the fact that the very nature of your existence, the very nature of your existence means that you were chosen by the divine. And if we can listen to that energetic understanding, whether or not you hear anything, actually, physically, we begin to actually clean up a whole lot of old shame, low self-esteem, and even desires to somehow be different than what you are, or ways that are pleasing other people, because that would actually be a bit of a slap in the face to the divine, which also includes, I think, of people-pleasing or the desire to be accepted by others. And the opposite side of that coin would be oppositional defiance, the fight against what other people have to say or think. And there's a middle road between the two of these. And think of this as helping to marry this particular duality of people-pleasing and oppositional defiance at a deep spirit level, all the way through to the sub of the subconscious, impacting the physical form, but also the breath in particular. As we optimize the breath and releasing any particular burdens in that sub of the subconscious, by means of helping your system to connect to the truth of who and what it really is, it begins this innate purification process of detoxing any low self-esteem and any levels of confusion, anxiety, or fear in the way of that all. I invite you to breathe in a way that says yes to life. It doesn't have to be vigorous. It can actually happen in ways that are really effective as you slow it down and you sensually breathe. So I'm going to invite you to breathe like in a way that's super sensual, in a way that might be just a little bit slower, that lets you appreciate every little molecule of air as it passes through. And as you deeply drink in what's nourishing through every micro awareness, through every little stage of your breath, beginning to repattern on a deep soul level and in ways that clarify human misperceptions around the worthiness of you, around the value of you, around the truth of you. We're breathing here, receiving here. Deepening the breath and keeping it just as slow, gentle, sensual. If there's any tension through the back, the neck, the chest, or anywhere in the body as you breathe, the invitation is to soften it slowly, breath by breath, like melting butter. Nourishing your system from the inside out by means of breathing slowly, gently, sensually. Giving that a round of breath. A couple minutes over time, please forgive me. I have a short song. It's actually just a minute and 20 seconds here. The song is called Seven Line Prayer. by Harmony of the Way. The album title, oh, bear with me here. Padma Sambhava Sadhana. Padma Sambhava Sadhana. There we go. And if it feels right, I'm going to invite you to touch on that resource that you found earlier and bring that in if you are requiring or desiring a little bit more support, resourcing, nourishment. To be honest with you, that had a little bit more of an upbeat nature than I intended, so I'm going to play one more song, and it's actually called Rainbow by Beauty Way and Clarity from the album Rainbow. Just 2 minutes, I invite you to soften your breath. Let yourself melt into these sounds. Breathe in. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in these ways. And thank you so much for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for the opportunity to be in this medicine with you all. Mwah. Blessings on your rest of your day. Bye for now, y'all. Oh, you're most welcome. So glad you loved that. Yay for spaciousness and releasing. Hey loves, I'm going to stop the recording here, if I haven't already.